Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deep in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy this message.
Jesus, being assembled together, Jesus commanded them, "Do not part Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father." Wait for the promise of the Father. Church, there's something about waiting. See, it's important you understand that the context of fire for Pentecost is because 400 years earlier, the fire departed the temple. The Spirit of God left the temple, and it was represented by fire in the temple. And sin, profane fire and a whole bunch of things quenched that, and it died out. Spirit of God left, and there was 400 years of waiting for the promise, waiting for God in Himself through Jesus. And I don't know about you, but seasons of waiting can be frustrating. Seasons of waiting can be weighty, and seasons of waiting can either cause an appetite to grow or to be dying. I'm done with waiting. And He said to them, "Do not depart Jerusalem. Do not leave. Do not go anywhere until you have received the promise." What was the promise? Well, John 14, 16 and 17 says that He would send a helper to abide in you. That He would dwell in you, no longer in a temple, but the Spirit of God would come and make His home in you. That He would teach you and He would be a helper and He would remind you of what you need to know in verse 26. And then in John 15, 26, He says, "I will send you a helper, a Spirit of truth, and He will testify of me and you will bear witness." See, when fire fell on Pentecost, it was a sign to the believer, it was a sign to those who had received Jesus that this here was now the presence of God dwelling in them. Some may have thought, wouldn't it be great if Jesus could just walk with us every day? His disciples were concerned and said, "When are you going to establish your kingdom?" And He says, no, I want you to wait because there's a Holy Spirit is coming. And in verse 8, He goes on and says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Friend, He has given us the Spirit of God to warm our hearts, to make us aware of His presence with us, but to actually deposit something that within us that changes not just our lives, but the world. And the same sense of His presence that here today was here over 100 years ago when this church was first established. The Spirit of God came and the people were gathered in a place of prayer just like they were in the upper room. And it was from that place of the place of prayer that they gathered, and more came. More talked, more came, more talked, more came. The same Spirit that birthed the church, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, is here right now. He's here right now, and each and every single one of us have an opportunity to open our hearts to Him afresh. Because this is not about a fire that was once back then, it's a fire in the here and now. See, it's important that you understand that from Acts chapter 2 through to 1 to 4, we're going to read it. It says this: "When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were gathered in one accord and in one place." Are you in one accord? Are you in one place gathered together believing? "Suddenly there came a sound from heaven of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And upon them it appeared divided tongues of fire on each one. And they're all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them utterance. See, one of the accompanying signs of that of a dwelling Holy Spirit is that of the gift of tongues. Maybe you're here today and you've walked in and you've never heard such babble going on stage and in a group of people, but I'm telling you something so significant about the gift of tongues. Because it is a personal, indwelling, infilling moment that comes up and bubbles up on the inside of you. And it comes out. And it comes up out of the overflow. And I can remember as a kid sitting in a circle at a kids' church meeting, and they asked us if we wanted to receive the Holy Spirit. I'm six. I don't even know Holy Spirit, what that actually means. I don't know the theology. I don't understand the fullness of it. But I'm like, yep, that's me. They take us out and they sit us in a circle. And they began to pray for us, and it kind of felt like duck, duck, goose. But as they started to pray and lay hands, we didn't get up and run. Most of us just began to babble this language that came up out of us. And something changed on the inside because there was a bubbling up and a bubbling over. And I'm telling you, that is not just of the day of Pentecost when He birthed the church, it's for here and for now. And it's a gift that He wants to give His children. But in the same way, He doesn't want just the gift of tongues to come out of you. He wants the Spirit of God to raise up the proclamation of Jesus. He wants to raise up the testimony of Jesus. He said, you will be my witnesses. It's indicative. It does not mean a recommendation. It is literally that when you are filled with Him, you can't help but share this good news. I don't know about you, but I don't want to live off my six-year-old experience. I want to live off the freshness of the Spirit of God and what He wants to do. I don't know about you, but I'm hungry. I'm so hungry for what God wants to do. And we celebrate Pentecost because it is the fulfillment of Jesus' promise. We celebrate Pentecost because it's the Spirit's arrival to dwell within each one of us and not a temple. Literally, it's the birthplace of the church, but its purpose of proclamation of Jesus is to the ends of the earth. I'm so grateful for a generation 100 years ago that gathered in prayer to seek the Lord and were filled with the Spirit. I'm so glad for my mom and dad who in the 70s in this church sought the Lord and got filled with the Spirit and fell out and had incredible encounters with the Lord. And I'm so grateful that you're here today, because look across the room, many of us were in the room today have some sort of story to tell of an encounter with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is a person. He is the person of the Holy Spirit, just as Jesus was the person of God, the Son of God, the Father and the Son and the Spirit, all dwelling in one, come and live and abide in you. Whoa. Pentecost is why you and I are here now. Pentecost went from the prayer room to the public square. And in history, it's happened over and over again. John Wesley in 1738 went to a meeting. And in a meeting, he experienced the presence of God. And he said, my heart warmed within me. Is anyone's heart feeling warm today? Something is happening in this room right now. And what happened to John Wesley? His encounter led from a place of experiencing the presence of God and his heart warming within him to him being on horseback traveling 250 miles, sharing the gospel. And as a result, the Methodist Church begins. Friends, I know about you, but I don't want to live an average Christian life. I don't want to live an average, mediocre, check in and check out a church Sunday. I want to live out of an encounter with him. I don't want to live off my six-year-old experience. I want to live off the here and now. I don't know your testimony. Maybe you have not experienced this, but I tell you today, you are going to have an opportunity to encounter the presence of the Holy Spirit beyond what you've tasted and seen right now, because I'm telling you this right now, that Pentecost is not a destination. Pentecost is the moment and the place of ignition and combustion on the inside of a believer. And as a part of our discipleship The question isn't, have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit? The question is, are you baptized in the Holy Spirit? Right here, right now, today. Not one day when back here 60 years ago when I got saved, but right here, right now, are you baptized in the Holy Spirit? Because the answer to that question tells us a lot about the future of the church. It tells us a lot about the future of the church, because the obstacle for the church is that we become dependent on that one time when it happened. Did you know there's a new language to be received today? Did you know that there's a new fresh encounter to be received today? Do you know in the same way you have a fire in your house that you can't just leave it and hope that it just stays lit? You got to keep stoking it. You got to keep fanning it up. Well, for 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, 5 through to 7, there's a couple of people of a generational lineage, Lois and Eunice, and their grandson Timothy. And they say to him, stir up this gift, this fan, and fan into flame this gift that is within you. You can't just put that log on the fire and hope that she's still there tomorrow. You got to stir that thing up. You got to put logs on it. You got to stir up this flame. How is it possible that the church could still exist over 2,000 years later, but only because people stirred up the flame within? It was from Lois to Eunice to Timothy, because it went from generation to generation, a message that said, do not be settling for this, but stir up this gift that is within you. Friends, I'm really here today to say to you that the obstacle of I was once baptized back then, we need to deal with today, because like Pastor Ali said, Ephesians 5:18 says, be filled with the Holy Spirit, which is implies and assumes that you would drink regularly, because it says, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Assuming that you would drink wine regularly, therefore drink of the Holy Ghost regularly. Whew. Are you ready for a drink today? Are you ready? Come on. I'm telling you, this is not hype. This is not hype. You need to know today that this is a Holy Spirit breathe moment where He lights a flame on the inside of each and every single one of you, and He baptizes you with fire, and He fills you and He empowers you to live a life after Him and to share boldly this good news of the gospel. Friends, we've only got one question really to ask, and that question is, are you baptized in the Holy Spirit? I can see hungry hearts around the room, and some still standing and some seating, because it's a long time to be on your feet, I get it. But I'm at you and I'm hungry. There's something here that the Lord wants to do that is beyond this here now moment. See, the important thing is that we recognize it's less about tongues or a warm, fuzzy moment, and it's actually more about you being filled to proclaim. Because that's how the world gets changed from one generation to the next. And I don't know about you, but I'm tired of living a life where I've got people in my life that are not yet saved. I'm tired of living in a space where I feel like I've got this good news to share, but it's not being received. Well, there's good news, friend, because the same Spirit that did something 100 years ago wants to do something fresh today. Because there are friends and family that need to be saved. There are people around us that need to know Jesus, and it will only happen through the proclamation of Him through His people. You know, Acts chapter 4, there's an encounter where Peter and John are imprisoned. It happens after Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 2 is where the Holy Spirit comes. Acts chapter 3, there's an encounter and demonstration. Man receives his lame legs back to life and fullness and runs jumping and praising God. And in chapter 4, the Sanhedrin come before the disciples and start asking questions and say, we can't actually handle this. And so they pull them aside and they put them in prison. And they put them in prison, not because they were going to temple, not because they went to church, not because they were in a prayer meeting, or even because they were in the upper room. They put them in prison because they preached Jesus. imprisoned because of the gospel proclamation. Not an Old Testament view, not a New Testament view, not a theology, and not how to join a church, and not even how to be a better Christian, or even be a blessed Christian and have a blessed life. The only question that they were asked in verse 7 of this chapter is literally this: by what power or by what name do you do these things? Not what song you sing, not what church you go to, not what denomination you go to, not what brand or even what band, but what name? What name and what power? Because the Spirit's power is given to make Jesus known to the world. This passage goes on and Peter, again, filled with the Spirit. And funnily enough, if you read it three times, Peter is filled with the Spirit in this one chapter. Three times in one chapter. He's filled with the Spirit. And he begins to speak again and he preaches Jesus. And he says to them, literally, there is no other name under heaven in which you can be saved. And they literally get to that point where they say, the name of Jesus is forbidden and you shall not speak of it. You shall not declare his name. You shall not teach of him, so that it would spread no further. They didn't command them not to gather. They didn't command them not to pray. And they didn't command them not to worship. They commanded them not to preach Jesus. Because the inner compulsion of the Holy Spirit, verse 20 captures it, and it says, we cannot help but speak. I don't know about you, but I don't want to do anything off my own merit or my own words. I want the Holy Ghost fire. I want the power of heaven over my life. I want it coming out in my proclamation, that I get up like Peter on the day of Pentecost, where I was once denying, once ashamed, once scared, and once fearful, but I get up and I'm like, you crucified him. He is the Son of God. He is raised from the dead. I don't know about you, but that's the kind of function I want coming out of me, is this unction of the Holy Ghost. And it's available to you and I today, because we can be baptized again in the Spirit afresh. It's not a one-time event. And it's the Holy Spirit that moves and warms our hearts and draws us closer. But it's in order that we would share, it's in order that we would testify, it's in order that we would witness, and that we would preach Jesus. Friends, let's not settle for a one-time experience. You know what's crazy about this passage of Scripture in Acts 4 is that Peter and John, after they're taken out, they go back to the disciples and they're like, guys, this is what's happened. We've been told we can't preach in his name. And rather than going to hiding, rather than pulling away, rather from going away from their mission, they pull themselves into a prayer room. And in the prayer room, they begin to be stirred again. And they begin to pray this prayer. And as they pray this prayer, literally the Bible says that something erupted on the inside of them, so much so that the room that they were in began to shake. What would it look like if God began to shake a nation yet again? Because we gathered together in one accord, in one mind and one heart, and came and sought him, and he moved and had his way. What would it look like, friends? Verse 31 says, and when they had prayed, when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. They didn't pray, take away my challenges. They didn't pray, take away my persecutors. Oh God, rid me of the pain. No. They leaned in and said, God, would you come and fill us again? If you want to be filled again, why don't you come to the front? Why don't you come to the front and begin to stir up that hunger right now? Why don't you begin to seek him and say, Lord, I'm not content with yesterday's wine. God, I'm not content with yesterday's fire. I want a fresh fire. I want to see the Spirit of God move in through my life. I want to be a witness. I want to be used by God to pass this message on to the next generation. I want to be one who would be found in the courts of the Lord, bringing him praise, seeking his face, and praying and asking God for a generation. Because I'm telling you right now, the Bible says, John Baptist prophesied it over Jesus and said, hey, there's one who's coming that's mightier than I, and I'm not worthy to carry his sandals, but he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. And fire. It's such a prophetic statement, because it spoke of what Pentecost was going to be, but it also reminded them of what they'd lost 400 years ago. Friend, in the waiting, in the tarrying, it's worth it. In the waiting and the tarrying, it's worth it. It's time time to lean in, because Pentecost is for you and I today. Pentecost is not an event, and it's not emotionalism, and it's not just tongues, and it's not for denominationalism. It is not just a worship experience. It is not for a meeting. It is not for luxury, but Pentecost is essential for every believer for the witness of the Holy Spirit. Pentecost is personal. It's when the indwelling, empowering, infilling presence of the Holy God lives in you and baptizes you afresh. Pentecost is for the public square, and it results in proclamation. Friend, how will they hear unless they are told? How will they know unless they are told? Oh, prayer is the prayer line. Prayer is the power line to seek it. You don't need to be looking to a stage or a person or an individual. You need to look to Him. I don't care if you're on your feet, on your knees, or on your face. Begin to stir it up. Begin to say, I want more, Lord. And if you haven't been filled with the Spirit, as you begin to cry out to Him, you watch as that tongue begins to change and something flips on the inside of you, because there's a power of the Holy Ghost coming upon you for an indwelling and a moving beyond the warmth and the fire and the tingles and the tickles, but for a generation who desperately needs Him and needs to know Him. So come on, friend, begin to stir it up. And those who speak in the Holy Ghost, don't be content for what language you had yesterday. Get a new language. Seek Him. Ask Him. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. This is the cry of your people. This is the cry of your church. Holy Spirit, come. Baptize us again. Baptize us again. Baptize us again. Holy fire, come. Holy fire, come. Jesus, come baptize, Lord. Come baptize, Lord. Oh, be baptized. Be baptized.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow You. I receive the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that You fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after You. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God, and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.